Happy Friday, everyone. Today is the 23rd of October, and you have made it to the end of another week. So congratulations on that, and boy, do I have an end-of-the-week present for you. I have the first guest of Pardon My Tech. His name is Matthias, and he is a digital privacy expert. He has his own website where he talks about privacy issues throughout the internet. He is based in Munich, Germany. And the reason that Matthias and I crossed paths is because of an issue with the privacy of the application called TikTok. TikTok is a mobile application that is a social media platform where users share short videos of themselves. And the concern with TikTok is that it wasn't protecting its users as much as it should have been. So a lot of my friends came to me and they were wondering, should I be using TikTok or is it too much of a risk? And so what I did, I went and did my research and I found a few software engineers or people who knew how to investigate applications. And I read their articles, I read their investigations, and one of those investigations was written by Matthias. And he wrote an in-depth article about the TikTok application and the data that it is collecting on you. And so I then sent out that article for my friends to read. I will link that article in the description for you to read. And it was a very interesting article, and I thought it was very, very well said. So I asked Matthias to then come on my podcast and explain it for you guys. So if you want to research a bit before this episode, go ahead and read that article so that you have a little bit of depth coming in. In this episode, you will hear a term thrown around, and Matthias will explain this a bit. And the term is fingerprinting. And if you think about how unique your physical fingerprint is, think of that in a digital sense. And TikTok is basically creating a digital fingerprint of you. And once you create that fingerprint, anywhere that fingerprint is found around the web will be attributed to you, basically. And this fingerprint is based off of hardware attributes, your behavior on the internet, things like that. So it's very, very unique to you. And it's one of the ways that TikTok was collecting its users' data. So with that all being said, with that introduction being said, I am very, very excited for this episode of Pardon My Tech, and I can't wait for you guys to hear it. If you're a returning listener to Pardon My Tech, thank you for coming back. Thank you for listening these past couple weeks. I really appreciate you guys being here and supporting the podcast. Tell your friends and family if you're enjoying the podcast so that you know, we can reach more people and hopefully explain more tech concepts to everyone. If you're a first-time listener of Pardon My Tech, welcome to the podcast. Pardon My Tech is a technology podcast that basically seeks to answer tech questions that we all are wondering, but we might not know who to ask or maybe how to ask the question. So I'm here trying to use my background as a software engineer to answer some of these technical questions in a non-technical way. So with that all being said, my name is Jack Wydra, and welcome to Pardon My Tech. Those who are listening, this is Matthias. He is from Germany. He is a reporter that talks about privacy quite a bit on his website. Matthias, if you want to just give a quick introduction as to who you are and what you do.
Yeah, I'm just a freelance journalist in Munich, Germany. And I worked as a web developer in younger years. So I learned a bit of programming, JavaScript and things like that. And so I'm still focused on tech a little bit, and I'm doing a lot of audiovisual journalism or teaching for younger journalism student, but I'm moving into this privacy direction. This is really interesting me a lot since Edward Snowden.
Definitely, definitely. Are you having fun checking out this privacy environment?
Which in total, you mean?
Yeah.
It's both. It's fun, but it's I'm also really driven to wake up the society to see what's happening, and also to give my readers the power to protect their privacy.
Definitely. And Matthias, as I said before, when I was, you know, first doing my investigation into TikTok, it came out in the news that the privacy may not have been the most secure. I went around and looked for articles that were technically well wrote and were able to explain what TikTok was actually doing. And your article is one of the articles that I read through a lot and sent to my friends for, you know, if they wanted to learn what TikTok was actually doing. So I will link that article in the description if any of you guys want to read about that as well. So why don't we just jump right in, Matthias, if you don't mind explaining kind of the investigation that you did into TikTok, both the website and a previous version of the application.
Yeah, it was really a lot of work, and that's probably the reason why you can't read it on other places. So it took me 10 days about to analyze it. A security researcher is quicker, that's for sure. but for the app, it's quite difficult. You have to, you can read the network traffic of your smartphone, but it's encrypted. So you have to smuggle a key to the smartphone, so it must be rooted. So I have my device, which is changed a little bit only for testing. And then you have also to make sure that the app is accepting this key. So you have to trick. I mean, there are tools, so it's not my idea how to do this, but it was quite a struggle to get it running. And for the website, it's not so difficult. You can just read it with every browser. It's the network console. You switch on and then you see every connection, every request. But here it's more the thing that you have to dig down into the JavaScript code and to try to understand what the script is doing and what are the parameters that are used to send numbers or parameters back to ByteDance,
sure,
the owner of TikTok. Yeah.
Interesting. So when you're looking at an application, is there anything that is a red flag for you, like, wait, something's not right about this application, they're taking more than they need, or something like that?
Yeah, well, that is quickly done because just because the GDPR came into law 2 years ago, a lot of behavioral profiles that are read out, you click a link and then it's reported, things like that. I mean, most of this is not legal anymore in Europe. So I can just look at most websites or most apps and find something which is not lawful anymore. It's changing slowly. So people are writing a lot to the companies and they're changing it slowly, but they really don't want to change because it's all about advertising.
Right.
But it's not very often that I found things that are totally like criminal. It's mostly about unlawful advertising.
Definitely. And why don't we quickly, very briefly talk about what the GDPR actually is? Last week, in last week's episode, we briefly touched on what the GDPR is, just in regards to why websites are now asking to evaluate your cookies more often than usual. But if we could just quickly describe what the GDPR is and what it's seeking to do for...
So for me, it's really a wonderful law. It's not perfect. It has its flaws. But I think it was one of the first laws where I thought, this is for me. This is for... I'm not that young anymore, but it's for a younger generation. So your data and what you're doing on the internet is protected. Companies need a plausible cause to record the data. So they may still have a small space for collecting data, which is not absolutely necessary. So it may be allowed to collect data for statistical purpose, for example. But building behavioral data from your what you're doing on the internet is definitely not allowed anymore without consent. So that's why you have all this cookie voice popping up asking you, can we do this? And this consent has to be freely given. So you can't deny this consent just because you can't be denied using the service just because you denied the consent.
Okay, so why don't we talk about, you know, what the security, well, not the security, what the privacy issues with the TikTok application, the web application, and the mobile application actually were. And as Matthias will go into detail here, it is worth noting that this is his investigation on a previous version of the application. This isn't, you know, the current TikTok application that you have downloaded on your phones. And so Matthias will be able to go in and explain to us how TikTok was actually, you know, exploiting some of the data.
Yeah, what I first discovered in the app is that they sent, for example, every video you watch is going out to Facebook so that they can collect this. This is just for advertising purposes, and this is something we see in a lot of apps. And but this is not, I think this is quite a problem. We can talk about this later, what all this collection of behavioral data is doing to society. But here, TikTok is just like any other app. On the other side, I saw this fingerprinting, which was going on the website. And my guess is they have never been really been able to explain why they are doing fingerprints on the website. So normally those fingerprints are done because of bot control. So people delete their cookies and they come back. And if this is an automated process, you can't control that your website is hammered with requests. So normally big companies like Akamai, a network provider, or Cloudflare, for example, they use fingerprints with a legal interest or a lawful interest to block bots. But if you block bots, then something should happen if you block this fingerprinting script. And this didn't happen. So I blocked the fingerprinting script and the website just behaved like normal. So it couldn't be used for bot control. Normally, like if you go to Google and you or other big websites, Adidas, for example, is using also fingerprinting for bot control. If you block those scripts, the website is going to slow down. It loads very slow so that it can't be hammered with requests. Sure. So TikTok was not able to explain what they are doing with it. And my guess was that they want to tie together the usage of the app with the usage of the web. Because people don't log in on the web, the TikTok videos get sent over messengers and then they get watched at the web browser. And they wanted to control all of this together.
Okay, interesting. So do you mind explaining a bit about what a fingerprint actually is? I know they're collecting both the digital version of the fingerprint and some type of audio fingerprint. So do you mind just giving a brief overview of that?
Yeah. So a fingerprint is in general just a technique where you collect different patterns. Could be from the hardware, could even be from your behavior, like how you click your mouse or something like that. And this hardware or this behavior is different between people. It's not always totally different. So, for example, a graphics processor of an Apple machine is probably not very unique. But if you put all of this information together, then the fingerprint is getting more and more unique. And then you can track people without their consent, without their knowledge. And that's why it's a little bit creepy, because it's out of control. You can't delete it like a cookie. You have to change your hardware to get another fingerprint. And you can't control who has your ID and who connected your ID or your fingerprint, for example, to your email address. So this could happen at TikTok, and that's why it's a little bit creepy. It could also be used by the Chinese government to track down dissidents or Uyghurs or something like that. But as I said, this can also be done by just a normal ID from your smartphone. So I can't prove it that the Chinese government is doing it, but it's always a bad thing to have your identity in areas where you don't think that they have your identity. You're just watching a video anonymous on TikTok and they know who you are. This is creepy.
Right, right. So is that to say that even if you're not logged in on the TikTok app, like I think you're able, you know, if someone sends you the link to a video and you click on the link, then you get taken to their website, are they still making that digital fingerprint even though you're not technically a logged in user on their site?
On the website, at least, they stopped using this fingerprinting script, this particular fingerprinting script they are still using, as far as I know, this Akamai fingerprinting script, which seems to have is its legal course here.
Okay. So,
but on the app, you still are tracked, even if you're not logged in. You can use the app without login, and then you are tracked by your Android or Apple identifier. Apple changed that. Probably with a new iPhone, you're not tracked anymore, but with Android, you are tracked.
Sure, sure. Okay. So why that kind of takes us into our next discussion, which is what has been fixed in your later evaluations of the TikTok website and mobile application?
Well, I can't say that they fixed it. They changed something because of the discussion. They just throw out this fingerprinting script. It was an open source script, so I don't know what they use it for, and probably it was not very important, so they changed it. What they never changed, or what they wouldn't change in the future, is their business model. So it's just another business. Probably they just copied the advertising model of Facebook, so they have their own huge advertising market, so you can target people. You can say you target people who watch this and this video. You can collect identifiers and then send out ads to those people. So they copied the whole ecosystem from the Silicon Valley and now have it on their own platform because they are really huge.
Right.
And the interesting thing now about the debate is that I think for US people, this is something new. So now they get tracked by a company in a foreign country. The Chinese government has probably control over the service or can access this service. We have no legal guarantees that they can't do this. And, well, this is creepy. But this is something we experience as Europeans since Edward Snowden, or even before, but now we know it since Edward Snowden. So for us Europeans, there's only a little difference. We are tracked by foreign companies, and the data is accessible by the secret services of those countries. And, of course, a difference between the US and Chinese government because of we share some values, and there are probably more laws prohibiting the US services to access to the data, but it's still not enough, and it's a bad thing for sure.
Definitely. Do you think that this came from... Well, first, I want to kind of go into explaining to the listeners what you were talking about for adopting the Facebook model, which a lot of these social media companies, it looks like they're basically, out of the kindness of their hearts, giving you and your friends a place to communicate and share videos and share pictures. But in reality, the business model of a lot of these social media sites is dealing with user data and what the users put out into the world. And as you put more of yourself into these social media sites, advertising agencies and, you know, Facebook advertisements will learn more about you and be able to target you better for advertisements. Is that correct, Matthias?
Yeah, that's true. And I even would formulate it a little bit different. They can manipulate you. It's not about sending you the best personalized advertisement, but it's about manipulation. I mean, advertising is always about manipulation, but this is big data manipulation. So it's dealing with a lot of psychological tricks. Just imagine you are using Facebook a way more probably than you want to. You're using Reddit a lot more than you want to. You are addicted to this service, those services. And this is because they found the key by big data how to manipulate you, that you spending time on these platforms without wanting it. And this is just another level of manipulation. Definitely. So that's the dangerous thing, I guess.
Definitely. And we touched on it a bit before. Is what TikTok is doing, I know their methods are a bit different in how they're collecting this digital fingerprint, but with the data that Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, with the data that all of those apps are collecting, is there much of a difference between the profile that TikTok is creating on you and the profile that these other social media companies are collecting on you?
Absolutely. So TikTok is just a small fish. They collect mostly data from the TikTok app, and they don't have yet this big system. So Facebook is collecting so much from external data on websites. It's really scary how much it is. And so they, of course, they have a huge advantage in manipulating user behavior and sending out perfect ads. I don't think that there's much technology different. So it's nearly the same what TikTok has done as Facebook is doing. There is, of course, a difference between the political systems. And it's just something different if the Chinese government has access to it, if only the US government has access of it.
Right.
But as you said, with malicious, if you have, if someone gets the data who is not allowed to get it, like a bad player or another government, you can do a lot of bad stuff with all of this behavioral data. You can track down Uyghurs, for example, and identify them just what videos they watched. So
exactly.
It's a theoretical problem for the future.
Yeah. And I mean, that's more of my concern. Well, don't get me wrong, TikTok collecting, you know, this very unique image of you and being able to then basically track you around the web after having that, that's concerning. But what's almost more concerning to me is that their security protocols for protecting this data of their users was not up to par. And if this, let's say, profile got out and people, you know, malicious parties were then able to see your fingerprint and track you around the web, that is a lot more dangerous than, you know, this advertisement manipulation that we were just talking about. If unknown parties are able to track you around the web, that's very, very dangerous. Is that a statement that you agree with as well?
Yes. I'm not sure if I really would say that, because it's mostly click data, you know, who clicked which videos. So I'm not so sure if you really can use this if you only have a small part of this. And anyway, it's the same danger than if Facebook is losing this data, and we had a lot of data breaches, Dropbox or something like that, which was even more dangerous. So my fear is not so much the breaches, and I'm sure that TikTok is, it's a very fast growing company, and probably they will be more secure. and then this problem isn't anymore.
Sure. Yeah, definitely. And let's just talk quickly about whether you believe this was a malicious attempt by TikTok, or if it was just like you're saying, it's a young company, they're fast growing, and maybe they had a script in their code that, you know, wasn't as secure as it should have been. Which of those two scenarios do you think is more likely?
I think it was probably both. So, as I said, I didn't see really an ethical standards. Like, they didn't even give credit to open source scripts they used, which is just, this doesn't cost anything. So, they just very quickly get the data they need for their business. But it's not malicious. I didn't see anything malicious in the in that sense that it's the Chinese government that wants our data. So this was some news. This was really in the news, probably because it was the first time that US Americans saw another government can get our data. But I didn't see this. TikTok is still a capitalist company. They want to make money, and of course they have to adopt somehow to the Chinese government or the rules. It shouldn't conflict with them to make their business, but it's not that the Chinese government founded TikTok to collect data. Likewise, the NSA didn't found Facebook to collect data. They just use it if it's practical for them. And to add, I think it's very important for us journalists now to keep calm in this TikTok thing, because I experienced some for example, it's like some month ago that an Australian think tank contacted me and they said, we need help with those fingerprints. Can you help us? And then I researched this institute and saw they are financed by the defense department of the Australian government. And then I denied the request because I said, well, I'm a journalist. I can't help you are financed by the defense department. I don't want to get into your interests. I don't want to call it propaganda. It's understandable that the governments look skeptical to the Chinese government or the Chinese companies getting social media platforms. But at the end, we have to keep calm and look at the technical side, look at what we can prove. And this is just not the case that we can prove that the Chinese government is here collecting the data of our kids or something like that. It's just another capitalism company, surveillance capitalism, like Shuzana Zuboff said. And well, it's a bad connection between making money with data and probably companies or secret service getting more and more interest in that data.
Wow. Well, that was good that you were able to research where their funding was coming from. So one of my last questions for you is more of a general question. And as we all know, in the current world, it would be very, very difficult to totally take yourself off the web. I'm not sure that that's even possible anymore. So what can the average user do to kind of protect himself or herself and make sure that their identity online is something that's kept safe and they're able to, you know, care about that?
I think it's very hard to do as a single person. The best thing you can do is just keep your fingers off. Don't start with TikTok. For us journalists, for example, don't start a TikTok channel if you want to make news. Only if it's the last resort, if you see that young people can only be reached on this platform. But really make this decision difficult for you. And, well, you can try to block cookies or to change your advertising ID, but it's really a lot of work. And what my experience is from the last year, just the freshest experience I had, take the things to the curb. The the courtroom is the best place to fight against those companies. And this is what the GDPR enables us now in Europe. And we have to fight against all this behavioral tracking now in the courtrooms. And the good thing is one person is taking it to the court, but all are winning from it,
right,
in privacy concerns.
Right. So getting those laws made that will actually protect you. Well, not only protect you, your families, your friends, and, you know, your future sons and daughters. And, you know, that's just making a world that's better tomorrow than it is today. Okay. So you kind of touched on, you know, should you have TikTok at the end of the day? And for a journalist, I know that, you know, you should stay away if you're able to. But for the average user, do you think that's also the case, that TikTok is really not something that should be played around with? Or do you think that, you know, it's the same as any other social media? So if you're on those platforms, then TikTok is okay too.
Well, I wouldn't forbid it if my daughter or my son is using it, but I would strongly discuss this. And I think it's a lot about transparency, about understanding what's happening there, and this can help a lot. But at the end, I'm absolutely fine. For example, in Europe, if somebody is consenting to be tracked, then it's okay. It's a free world. So if people really understand, this is my job as a journalist, that they understand, and then say, I don't have a problem using Facebook, for example, everybody knows that Facebook is bad. So if people are using it, it's okay for me. But I want that they understand.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I think you can do a lot to show alternatives. For example, a lot of Mastodon, of a very nice network without tracking. And there are a lot of alternatives, and you just have to use it and show it, even if it's a little bit more work.
Well put. So one final question for you just popped into my head. If I were to have a TikTok and I previously had it, then I read your article about how there were privacy concerns with it, and then I deleted TikTok, deleted my account, they still have my fingerprint. They still, you know, the exploit is already done, right? So if someone already has the application, what is to, you know, stop them from just saying, well, they already have it now, other than just, you know, their future, you know, key clicks being tracked?
The fingerprints are getting old. So if you change a little bit on your hardware, it's another fingerprint. So it works out not to use it anymore. The same with the Android advertiser ID. You can just change it on your phone, do it now, and TikTok doesn't know anymore who you are. Change your email address, or only use email addresses, especially for those services you don't trust. And then you are fine again.
Interesting. Well, Matthias, do you have any last notes to add for the listeners?
Well, probably as a audiovisual journalist, I have to say the videos at TikTok are really great. So let's keep this this creativity and put it to another platform or to another place. I think that would be the perfect solution. Don't blame the users of TikTok for what the platform is doing.
Definitely agree. Matthias, thank you so much for your time. I really enjoyed being able to have this conversation. And I feel like, you know, we were really able to clarify what TikTok is doing, how those problems have been quote unquote patched, and, you know, what this means for the future and what you can do to protect yourselves online. So thank you, Matthias. I really appreciate it.
I thank you. It was fun. I hope my English was good enough for everybody to understand.
It was perfect.
And thanks for this wonderful intercontinental interview. All the best to you.
All the best. Thank you. that is it. Thank you guys so much for being here and for listening to Matthias and I discuss TikTok as an application and what it is doing to take some of our data and manipulate it for future use. I really, really appreciated the opportunity to talk with Matthias, and I hope that you guys really appreciated that opportunity as well to listen to our conversation. And I really appreciate Matthias for what he does. He's a freelance journalist, and he's really able to create an unbiased view of data protection worldwide. And I really appreciate him for being able to do that, and especially for knowing what he's talking about and being able to give in-depth conversations from an unbiased perspective. He not only was able to talk about what TikTok was doing, but he was also able to give the reasoning for why they were doing it. It wasn't a full-on attack of TikTok. He was more giving an explanation for, you know, what they were doing, why they were doing it, and how you can protect yourself if you don't want that to be happening. So I really, really valued this conversation with Matthias, and I hope you did as well. So with that all being said, thank you guys again so much for being here. If you enjoyed this podcast, please tell your friends and family to tune in too. I really would appreciate that. I really want you guys to enjoy your Friday and enjoy your weekend. Thanks again. This is Jack Wydra on Pardon My Tech.